You know, I'm a preacher, so I'm not really good at stuff. I don't do things well. I don't have what's the word talent. I talk a lot. I use the mouth part of my life. So I love mission trips and I love base camp because like base camp I get to be useful. Like I get to build something. I get to like do things. I love mission trips where I can get in tasks to accomplish. Where I can like say, hey, I did that. Like, jealous of those of you that are like carpenters. Because you take nothing and make something. That's amazing. Like, I can't. This is my carpenter skills. On every Friday, we tailgate over at the football field before we put on ball games. And this is what happened to me the other day during tailgating. I was trying to help put up the tent. And it fell on me. You know, you would think somebody that really loved their pastor and cared for their friend would maybe say, maybe help me with the tent. I could have died. Like, it was hot up there. It was wet. I couldn't breathe. And you would think people may help me, you know, because y'all have souls. You would help me. Not Carlos and Jeff. Nope. They laughed and took pictures. Laughed. And see, I would never do that. Ever. So you see, that's what happens when I try to do things. They grounded me and wouldn't let me help put up the tent anymore because I broke it. So I'm jealous of those that can do things and create things and make things done. That really is a gift. It really is a true gift. I don't think it's by accident that Jesus was born to Mary, whose husband Joseph was a carpenter. I mean, I don't think that's accidental. I think there's some sovereignty of God in the fact that who he selected to raise his very son. So there is something amazing, something, when you read in Genesis 1, in Genesis 2, in the creation accounts, when we read how when God made us, he put Adam to work in the garden. There's something holistic, something beautiful about the way that God has given us these talents. Now, not only for his glory, but just use them, accomplish them. That really is beautiful. But I don't do that. I'll struggle with that. The few times in my life, when Holly has me cook for the family, it's a disaster, and we all die of food poisoning. But the few times when she has had me to cook, I'm like, baby, don't tell me a pinch and a dab. I need specific to the centimeter instructions. How many ounces? How many milliliters? What? I don't need just what looks good. No. I don't know what I'm doing. Literally. I have no clue. I don't do that well. I need instructions. I'm a person in my life that I need specific instructions about things that I know nothing about. I don't tell me to guess that I will guess wrong. It's just the way it works. I don't have that skill set. So I like instructions. Now, when it comes to things that I'm good at, or things that I'm good at, like, you know, building kids' toys, which I think I'm good at, and I'm not, I'll build the toys and then say, oh, wait, that's not right. So then I'll take it apart. And I've messed up any one of my kids' toys by getting a hammer to break it to fix it back right. You know, I tend to not read the instructions for that either. You know, I should humble myself and read instructions. I'll figure it out. What's the worst that can happen? Famous leftovers. What's the worst that can happen? Last week, we talked about truth. We're in the midst of a series right now that we're calling truth. And last week, we talked about what is the main truth for our lives. Of all the stuff that's true in life, of all the stuff that matters, of all the stuff that's important, what is the most important truth in our life and in our world? And we talked last week, reading Colossians 1, about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the truth. The Bible says he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. So Jesus Christ is truth. Truth is not a concept. Truth is not a concept. Truth is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. So we talked last week about how he is truth. He trumps denominations. He trumps churches. He trumps worship style. He trumps theology. He trumps experience. Jesus Christ is above anything that we can ever do as humans. Jesus Christ is above all and through all and for all. He is truth. is truth. So we know that. And I think we don't agree that, yes, of course we believe Jesus Christ is truth. Of course we believe Jesus Christ is central. Of course we believe it. That's, yeah, no, we don't believe that. Jesus Christ is truth. Sure.
Okay. Here's the question. We can hear this line of thought. Here's the question.
If Jesus Christ is truth, which I would think, I'm going to make some assumptions today so I don't get you in trouble. I'm going to make some assumptions. If Jesus Christ is truth, and I think we would all agree this morning, anybody may not agree with this, but if Jesus Christ is truth, then there's the question. How do we know truth? Because, like, Jesus is awesome. He's awesome. We all agree with that. But I've never, like, I've experienced him. I've felt him in worship. I've felt him in conversation. I've felt him in preaching. I've felt him in obedience. I have felt and experienced Jesus Christ many times in my life. I think we all have. We've all at some point in our life experienced Jesus. I mean, you're here this morning for a reason. There's something within you that wants to know who God is. You may be here out of obligation. Your wife or husband may have drug you here. Your parents may have drug you here. But you're here. And while you're here, we're going to take a moment and think about the fact that we all, if we're going to be honest, want to know God somewhat. We want to experience God somehow. Many of us have. But how? Like, to experience Jesus, like, he's not physically here like he was in the Bible. I've never done knuckleballs with Jesus. I've never played Madden with him. I mean, he's not here in that way. We experience him through others. We experience him through his word. We experience him in many ways. We don't physically touch him in that way. And we are products of the Enlightenment. And so for others, that means this. For us, truth is something we can quantify. Think about science. Can you replicate it? Can you measure it? Can you quantify it? Can you account for it? Can you teach others how to do it? Can you measure it? Like science, you know, think about the experience we've done. Truth, for most of us, is something that you can observe and measure and point to and touch and explain. That's true for most of us. Jesus is none of that. Jesus is not a science experiment. Jesus is not even provable in that manner. Well, if we agree that he is true, but yet we can't kind of put our hands around him in that manner, how do we know him? I mean, how do we know him? If he's true, how do we know truth here? How do we know truth? Is truth something that I come up with? Is truth based off me? Is truth my opinion and my experience? Maybe it is. Maybe that's truth. Maybe my experience dictates what truth is. But if my experience dictates what truth is, then God is different than Old Miss Fame. Duh. That's truth for me. Because I do a little bit, so surely God does. I mean, if you went to Old Miss Fame, why is that for so perfect? I mean, it's just duh. That's my experience. Well, is truth something only I can know? Or is truth something bigger than that?
See, here's the thing. I think truth is bigger than that. And there are some assumptions we're making here that you may not agree with. Here's the assumption we're making. We assume
that Jesus Christ is God's truth. Well, if God is good. Now, maybe God's not good. Maybe God's not a good God.
I think he is.
I mean, I think God's a good God. But if Jesus is true and God's a good God,
wouldn't God want us to know his will? Wouldn't God want us to understand who he is?
Wouldn't God want us to know him? If Jesus is true and God's good, wouldn't God give us some way to know Jesus? That's
kind of makes sense logically. And see, here's the thing we think about God. Like, okay, I like going to ball games. And you know how one thing they do at all the ball games now is they have that little video, you know, where's the ball at? And they put the ball in the cup and they that little game thing, you know what I'm talking about. And you watch it, and you roll, and you get dizzy, and you fall out, maybe that's just me. But like, you know, you're trying to find the ball, where's the ball, where's the ball? And I never get it right, ever. I don't have the attention to watch that, just keep up. How many of us think that's what God's will is? Okay, here's my will. Okay, y'all, here's my will right here. Put it right here. He puts it under a cup. Woo! Here's my will. Where's my will? Where's my will? Where am I at? And you're like, I don't know, God. Just tell me. I mean, is that not how we feel sometimes? Where's my will? Where's it at? I got this little app on my phone. The little flashlight, and I'm sure most of you have. On Saturdays, I'll come and pimp around the church, and I'll come in, kind of cultivate different buildings, and kind of get ready to go. And the youth building, the sanctuary, is dark. Like it doesn't have any natural lighting. And so if you walk into that youth building without any lights on, you will fall and hit your knee and be tempted to say things preachers shouldn't say. You know why? Because that happens to me every Sunday, Saturday. And I could go cut the light on, but I'm lazy. So I literally just try to guess in the chair for it. I'm like, hey, why don't I use my phone? Because I've got a light there that can show me where I'm going in this darkness. That's what truth is. Truth is that light that in the darkness shines, so you have some clue where to go. Truth is that light that when you do not know and you cannot see, and frankly, so many times I thought the chair was somewhere else, it was right in front of me, I would fall, and I'm glad Jeff and Carlos were there to take a picture of it. I mean, it's, you hurt yourself, at least I did, because you don't see reality. You think reality is one thing, it's something different. How many of that describes our lives sometimes? We're depressed. We're guilty. We're alone. We're scared. The reality tells us we're worthless. In our minds it does. Tells us we can't be forgiven. Tells us we don't matter. Tells us we don't count. Tells us we've gone too far. That voice, you know that voice that I've ever had, maybe you have it, that I have? That voice that says you can't do it. That voice that says you made a mistake. That voice that tells you you can't be forgiven. That voice that always accuses you. That voice that always brings doubt into your mind. You know that voice? So often in our life, we're guided more by that voice than we're guided by God's word. So often in our life, that voice of doubt, or that voice of accusation, or that voice of darkness, God, our day-to-day life, more than God's truth does. That's why you've got to know truth. Because sometimes you've got to cut the light. You've got to cut the light and say, no! Yeah, I've done dumb things, but God still loves me. Yeah, I don't know everything, but I know that God's good. Sometimes in our life, we have got to hold on to truth in the midst of the darkness. Because we don't know where to go. And we're scared. And we're doubtful. We feel alone. And sometimes our life, we listen to that voice more than we listen to God. God's plan for you is goodness. That voice's plan for you is not goodness. And sometimes the dark seems more real than the light. That's how you get a hold of the truth, even in the darkness. Well, what's truth? How do we know truth? Is God playing that little game with his will? Here's our assumption. If Jesus Christ is life, which he is, and God is good, which he is, then wouldn't God give us some way to know who he is? And the answer to that is yes. Yes, he would. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17. All scripture is breathed out by God. Real quick Bible note here for you. Anytime in the Bible, you see the word God breathed or God's breath. Anytime in the Bible there's anything associated with God's breath, think Holy Spirit. Anytime you hear that phrase, God's breath, God breathing, think Holy Spirit. In the beginning when he made man and got the mud pie and breathed into it. So he breathed into it the breath of life. He's not talking about him compressing his chest and breathing out and C2 and oxygen. He's not talking about that. God's not a physical body like we are. God's bigger than that. So when it says that God breathed out, it's talking about his Holy Spirit. It's talking about the fact that what makes us human, what makes us different from animals, what makes all that is the fact that we're made in God's image. It's like you ever see your young with something on their face and you go, and wipe it off? For God, you do us. He went, you're mine. You ever done that with some food you want to eat? I've done it for you. That's lick your fingers, stick somebody's food at yours. I'm just saying. You lick it. Mark it like that. Why are you looking like that, Tony Mom? He's licking. I'm not saying you should do it. I'm just saying if you do it, it's yours. God licked his finger. Marked us. He said, you're mine. You're made in my image. You're mine. Anytime in Scripture you hear the word God breathed, God's breath, think Spirit. So, all Scripture is breathed out. God's breath, Holy Spirit, is breathed out by God. Isn't that a beautiful image? God breathing, this comes out. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. If Jesus Christ is truth, if we agree that Jesus Christ is truth, and we agree that God is good, now you may not agree with those two phrases. You may not think Jesus is truth, and you may not think God is good. I do. If we agree that Jesus is truth, and that God is good, would not a good and loving God show us a way to reveal Jesus Christ to us? If God was a good and loving God, would he not show us truth? Remember, y'all, God is not playing hide and seek with his will. He's not. God is not playing hide and seek with his will. God is not a vindictive or a mean God. He's a loving God. And God's not out to get you, and God's not out to trick you. God loves you. God wants you to know his will and know his love. And there's this beautiful phrase that John Wesley uses where he says this. He says, Scripture contains all things needful, and everything needful for salvation is made plain within. See, once again, y'all, we got to know truth. Ask yourself this question right now. Seriously, you don't have to yell out the answer. Is God good? Does God love you? Does God want to spend eternity with you? And if he does, if you believe that God is good and that he wants to know you and spend eternity with you, would not a good, loving God explain himself to you in a way that makes sense? Would not a good and loving God show you his will in a way that makes sense? Yes. All things needed for salvation are made plain within Scripture. So in other words, you don't need to know every last iota of Revelation. You don't. I do not believe a correct view of Revelation is essential for salvation. I don't understand it.
And it's kind of crazy. There's locusts and monsters and crazy things. I know it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that can sort of believe and not perish. I know all the mysteries. I know that.
I can't explain to you every mystery of the Bible. I've been trained in it. I've been educated in it. But I can't explain every mystery.
But I do know this. All things work together for the good of those who love God. And are called according to his purpose. And I don't know why that stuff happens. Not only do I not understand all the mysteries of the Bible, I don't understand all the mystery of God. God is, I've used this analogy before. I use this analogy. When we were in Ripley, and oh, Holly's in here. She may be able to actually explain what happened, because I don't remember. I remember in Ripley, they had this, at the county farm, they had something. They greased up a critter. It was a pig or something. Remember they let the kids chase it? Remember? What did they let them chase? It was some kind of they greased it up or turned the critters loose. It was great to watch them because the kids tried to catch it, they'd slip, they'd fall. It was great. It was just hours of fun watching kids trip and fall. It's great. Not that I would do that.
Rabbit,
that's what it was. Rabbit, thank you. They didn't grease it? Before they grease it up.
That's a different story.
Okay. Anyway, there was this critter that I thought they greased up. Oh, it was a rat. That would really grease a rabbit. That'd be kind of weird. So, I'm really glad you're here because now I got a sword right in my head. So. So anyway, if you see the kids chase it, and they catch it, and then have it, then slip out. And it's going for hours. It was great. Sometimes with God, we want to explain everything. We want to grab God from the manhood and explain everything. And the older I get, the more I understand that I can't. And I may be wrong. But I think the reason why so many of us are scared of God and scared of religion is that most preachers act like they've got everything figured out. We're like, I'll never get there. I don't have everything figured out. But I know this. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not fear. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. But thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know the mystery. I don't understand the mystery of this book. But I know this. God's good. Because if we got to be young, he tells us that. And he loves us. And if Jesus is truth, and God is good, and God loves us, will he not show us his truth? And I believe that through his word he has. And so here's the thing. As believers, we've got to dig in here. We've got to dig in. Lonnie Schrader. By the way, this is Hate Week 2014. I don't know if y'all are aware of that. Y'all might not have seen the Twitter hashtag yet. We think Petal and Oak Grove hate each other. No, that's not hate. Hate is this Friday when Bo and Jenna play Sacred Heart. I know y'all are all on Team Bo and Jenna, right? Lonnie always says, you know, Andy, you're such faded Christians. He's right, you are. But we gotta grow, y'all. We gotta dig in, because here's what's coming. Storms are coming. Trials are coming. Worries are coming. Doubts are coming. Because here's the thing, that voice in the back of your head is not gonna stop. And that voice wants to do everything it can do to pull you from God. That voice wants to do everything in its power to stop you from growing. That voice wants to do everything in its power to stop you from being faithful. That voice is going to keep coming for you. That voice is going to keep coming after you. Darkness is going to continue to fall. As much as I wish that no one in here would ever suffer, we're human. Those we love will die. Jobs will cease. Troubles will come. And I really do wish, as your pastor and as your friend, I could stop bad stuff from happening to you. Man, I wish I could. Seriously. I've been inside so many deathbeds and so many sick beds that I wish I could stop trouble from coming. But this side of glory, there's going to be troubles. And that's why you got to know the truth. That's why you got to know the truth. When the darkness comes, you have a light. When the questions fall, you have a map. When the doubts assail, you've got a shelter. Truth, hope, and shelter are all Jesus Christ. But the only way we're going to know Jesus is by digging in this book. And is it scary? Yeah, at times it is. Yeah, I'm not going to lie about it. Can it create questions? Yes, of course it can. Of course it can create questions. It should create questions. Can it mess up your faith? Yeah, it'll make you grow. Growing's never easy. But it'll give you life. And I want to live, y'all. I always said the greatest movie ever outside of me was good ones. The Shawshank. Over it, get busy living, get busy dying. I want to get busy living. I don't know about y'all. But however long God has me on this earth, I want to live. I want to draw my last breath and say, yeah, I could have done more. I don't want to draw my last breath and say, yeah, I could have done more. If we believe that God is good, if we believe that Jesus Christ is truth, and I'm not a single question. You've got to ask yourself today, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the truth? And if you believe that He is truth, if you really and truly believe that, do you not believe that a good and loving God will give you a way to know truth? Do you believe that? All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for these things. So today we're going to dig in. I know you get sick of talking about small groups. I get it. I get sick of me too. But I do it because it matters. Because only when you dig into God's Word will you grow. Only when you have somebody walking beside you encouraging you, you grow. If your faith is weak, when's the last time you fed it? Because listen, I mean, I'm awesome. I get it. Yeah. Sure. I'm really not. I'm just joking. But if your only exposure to God's Word is me on Sunday mornings, your faith will never grow. I give you my word. If your only exposure to God's Word is this time of worship, and this, by the way, some worship is amazing. We have an amazing praise team that they will pray over these services. I try not to say too many stupid things when I preach. I mean, I think our worship team is bad, but it's as good as you're going to find. But that said, if your only exposure to God's Word is 1 hour on Sundays, your faith will not grow. You'll be amused. You'll know some funny stories. You'll have a good time tomorrow at work talking about church. But you won't grow. When the storms come, you're going to be scared. You're going to be scared anyway. But if you grow in God's Word, if you dig into His Word, when the storms come, you're going to fight a child. You're strong enough to love you, you'll fight a child. Guess who's the clean home to your final child? He won't leave you. He's never going to leave you. He'll hold on to you tighter than you'll hold on to him. But I want to be ready for the storms. I want to listen to what I want to do. And the only way we'll know truth, the only way we'll know truth, the only way we'll know truth by going to the way that God chose to reveal truth to us. That is His Word. So dig in daily. I mean, I know I do a little commercial every Sunday morning for the devotional. If you missed a chance, we still got the offering to come. So if you have not signed up for any devotional, seriously, sign up for it. And every tomorrow morning you'll get a devotional from me on the Word of God and reflection on it. There's small groups all over. If you want to read it by yourself, my phone number's in the bulletin. Seriously, every Sunday my phone number's in that bulletin. Text me. If you have questions about God's Word and you read it, text me. I'm not joking. I will answer them. I would devote myself to a day of answering your questions about the Bible than anything I can do in my life. There's nothing more important. I love y'all. I love you. I love being your pastor. But my most important job at this church is helping you grow in God's Word. That's my most important job. If we believe that God is good, we believe Christ is truth. Would God not show His truth to us? Yes. We believe that. It's right here in this. So my prayer for you is that you'll go deep in God's Word. So when the storms come, that's something to hold on to. And when the winds come and the joy comes, we'll not celebrate. There's this great quote about our friendship. It says, friendship makes our defeats more palatable and our victories that much sweeter. I think that's true. God's Word softens the blows of tough life and gives it more joy and victories. So my prayer for you, as your pastor, as your friends, I want to help you grow. God, if Jesus Christ is truth, and God is good, will He not show us who He is? And the answer is yes. May we dig in day after day, day after day to His Word. Let's pray.